Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph, Perek Kaf Bet, Chapter 22. So let's recap Perek Kaf Aleph, Chapter 21. Our chapter deals with David on the run and the beginning of his downward slide. David's escape to Nov is the first leg of his flight from Shaul. Now David is an enemy of the king. Only those who are in the politically inner circle know this. But Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol of Nov, who lives in Nov, the city of the Kohanim, does not. He thinks of David as a national military hero and Shaul's son-in-law. So when David escapes to Nov and asks for food, Achimelech is welcoming. He asks David if he is alone, and David doesn't tell him the truth. He says, "Oh yeah, my soldiers are hiding, so I need food for my soldiers as well." This is the first time that David does not tell the truth. And by lying to the Kohen Gadol, he is endangering his life and his whole city's life, because now they may be aiding and abetting the king's enemy. But David right now is only thinking of his own survival. The Perek also told us that one of the most important advisors to Shaul, Doeg HaEdomi, is in Nov, and he overhears this discussion between Achimelech and David. And in the end, this will prove to be fatal for Achimelech and his whole city of Nov, because they will be executed as accomplices to the rebellious David. David also asks for a sword from the Kohen Gadol. And David knows exactly what sword he's looking for, because Kohanim don't bear arms. They don't fight in wars. So when he asks for a sword, he knows that Achimelech can only give him the sword of Goliath, because David donated the sword of Goliath to this religious center when he won the battle against Goliath. This is very symbolic, because by asking for the sword, when David is under intense pressure, he's putting too much trust in the sword. The whole point of his confrontation with Goliath was that he put his trust in the word of God. And now David wants that sword, and not just any sword, but the sword of Goliath, which represents everything that David was rejecting in his confrontation with Goliath. But David says, "Give me the sword, Tenenali." And you can almost hear the desperation in his voice and imagine how happy he is when he grabs it and has it in his hand. We can almost feel it vibrating. This is a very big turning point in David's career, because David is always vacillating between the sword of the Lord, right? The using the sword, but also with the voice of the Lord. The word of Hashem, Dvar Hashem. And Goliath's sword is not the sword of the Lord, is not a cherev, is not a sword that has religious significance. It's the sword of Goliath from Plishtim, a Philistine. Furthermore, we saw last perek, last chapter, that after this, David escapes from Nov to Achish, the king of Gat. Gat is the city of Goliath. What's happening to David? He's leaving Eretz Yisrael. He's leaving, right, Bnei Yisrael and the land of Israel, and he's running towards Goliath's city. He's running towards the Plishtim. We're worried. Is this symbolic of David? Let's see in our perek now. Psukim Aleph to Hey, verses 1-5. From Achish Melech Gat, because he feels insecure there, because people recognize him, David runs back to Israel, and he goes to a cave in the Judean section. And his whole family come to visit him. But not only that, Vaitkapzu elav kol ish matzok v'kol ish asher lo noshe v'kol ish mar nefesh v'yihi aleim lesar v'yu imo ke'arbamot ish. It's not only David's family that gather to be with him when he comes back to Judea. Also, everyone who is in a difficult situation, on the fringe of society, anyone who's in debt and desperate joins him, and he becomes their leader. And he's the leader of a band of 400 men. After that, David leaves Judea again, and he takes his father and mother, and because he's not sure what's going to happen to him, he goes to Moab, and he tells the king of Moab to be responsible for his parents. And David leads them to the king of Moab, and they stay there all the time that David is in his fortress. And God Hanavi, Vayomer God Hanavi El David. God, the prophet of Hashem, a Navi, has to come to David. Loti Shev Bam Tsuda, Lech Ubata Lacha Eretz Yehuda. Don't stay in this fortress in Moab. You have to go back to Judea, to Yehuda, to Bnei Israel, to Eretz Israel. And David does, and he goes into the forest right on the border in Judea, in Yehuda. Now, this is interesting, because David first comes to Israel, back, right, from the area of the Plishtim, to his ancestral tribe, Yehuda, to the Nachala of Shevet Yehuda, and there his family join him to show him solidarity, give him support, and that is very admirable. But also David attracts all the disaffected people in debt, the people who are on the fringes, a motley crew, not stellar individuals. And this group numbers 400 men. This number should ring in our head because Esav comes to confront Yaakov with 400 men. So the Navi is continuing this Esav-focused depiction of David, the sword, right? It says about Esav, Al Charbacha Techeh, you should live your life, right? Based on the sword. Also, he's coming, he's now gathering 400 men. He is also ruddy, admoni, or maybe redhead, but red. Furthermore, once David gathers this group of family members and fringe warriors, his band of men, he retreats to Moab with his family. And this is very disturbing, right? Going to Achish Melech Gat, the city of Goliath, was very disturbing. And this is even more disturbing. David's ancestress is Ruth. She rejected everything that Moab represented. She cleaves unto Naomi, leaves Moab behind her. She leaves her family, she leaves her religion, she leaves her nation. And she really adopts this new identity to become Jewish, to become Israelite, to convert. For David to regress and go to Moab as a place of refuge, to leave Israel and to move to Moab, speaks volumes. Not only that, he settles his family with the king of Moab. And a prophet, Gad HaNavi, has to come and tell David, you have to leave. You cannot stay here. How could you stay with Moab? What a regression. It's dangerous to you. Not only to you physically, but to your neshama, to your soul. You're the anointed one. You cannot now regress and go back to Moab. Ruth did everything in her power to change that, to move, to become the mother of kingship. And now you're going to undo that unbelievable legacy? Rashi mentions that this visit to Moab was not only a bad move, but was also lethal and deadly for his family. After this event, we never hear of David's family. The Midrash that Rashi quotes surmises from this that his entire family was murdered by the king of Moab, save one brother. So only one brother survives. What is the message here? David, again, is acting in a way that is dangerous for others, not thinking about the consequences. In his panic to escape Shaul, he is not always thinking clearly and is endangering those around him. The Perek further emphasizes this point by segueing to Achimelech in Nov. Doeg, Shaul's advisor, who overheard David and Achimelech's conversation and the gifting of food and the gifting of the sword, tells Shaul the details of this event. He tells Shaul, you know, David was there and Achimelech gave David food. He gave him a sword. He asked Hashem if he's going to be successful in his journey, which, you know, his journey is to attack you. And that's what Shaul thinks. So Shaul called Ahimelech, the Kohen Gadol, for an investigation, the high priest for an investigation. And Shaul speaks very disrespectfully to the Kohen Gadol. This is the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. Even though you're king, you have to call him by his formal title. But instead of calling him by his formal title, he only calls him Ben Achituv, the son of Achituv, not even using the complete name and respect for the Kohen. And Shaul says, why have you conspired against me? Why are you rebelling against me, you and the son of Yishai? You gave him lechem, bread, v'cherev, a sword, v'sha'ol lo be'elokim, and you asked him, you asked Hashem for him. And you know what he is? He is against me, and you're helping him against me. And Ahimelech answers, Umi b'chol avdecha k'David ne'eman. Who's loyal like David in your circles? The Chatan HaMelech, he's even your son-in-law. V'sar el mishmatchan, he does everything you say. V'nichbad bebeitecha, and he's the most honored in your household. Oy, poor Ahimelech, he's just saying everything wrong in this moment. And you know what? This is not the first time that I've asked Hashem for David. I many times have asked Hashem for him. This is not the first time. You know, ki lo yadavdecha b'chol zot davar katon o gadol. I did not know anything about this fight, this feud that you have between you. But Shaul is not interested to hear all these excuses. Vayomer hamelech mot tamut Ahimelech, ata v'chol beit avicha. But the king says, mot tamut Ahimelech, you shall die and your whole family shall die. How is Shaul so quick to deliver this decision? But no one wants to kill the Kohanim. They just stand there. Who is the one who's willing to kill the Kohanim? Doeg ha'edomi. He listens to the command of Shaul, and he surrounds all the Kohanim, 85 people who are wearing the garments of the Kohanim. 85 ish nose efod bad. And in addition, ve'etnov ir ha'kohanim hika lefi cherev, me'ish v'adisha, me'olel v'adjonek, v'shor v'chamor v'se lefi cherev. They kill by the sword, nov, the town of the priests, men, women, children, infants, oxen, asses, and sheep. All of them are killed by the sword. Twice in the beginning and the end of this pasuk, the word sword is used. Again, trying to emphasize, this use of the sword is really not the right way to behave. And when Doeg uses it against Nov, he's using it in the wrong way. Shaul is enraged that Ahimelech Kohen Gadol aided and abetted his enemy David by giving him bread, sword, and inquiring Hashem for him. And Ahimelech, who did not know the drama between David and Shaul, says, of course I helped David. Isn't he your most loyal and respected servant? Isn't he your son-in-law? This is not the first time I asked God for him. And Ahimelech unknowingly seals his fate and the fate of his offspring and the death sentence given to the city by admitting all this to Shaul. Instead of understanding the context of all of this, Shaul commands his servants to slay the entire city as rebels. But no one will comply because they are the holy anointed Kohanim. But Doeg, the servant who was the informer originally, murders the entire city. Men, women, children, infants, oxen, asses, and sheep. You get the references here and the similar language. He is destroying Nov, the city of the priests, like he was supposed to destroy Amalek. Shaul, who was afraid to kill all of Amalek and killing their king and kept the spoils, now he is willing to murder the high priest and his entire city? Is that right? Does that make sense? The Midrash comments about this, Al titzdak harbe ve'al tirsha harbe. Shaul, who was so seemingly righteous about his reticence to kill men, women, and children and cattle when it came to Amalek, was more than ready to destroy the holy city of Nov in its entirety. These are misplaced values. If you think you know better than God, you don't. So on the one hand, this story is to show another chapter in Shaul's downfall. How could he do something like this to destroy the city of the Kohanim? Because he suspects that they helped David. And he hears the story of Ahimelech. And he's not really willing to listen. But it is also a warning to David. What's the continuation of this story? Only one son of Ahimelech survives and escapes. And his name is Eviatar, and he runs to David. And Eviatar tells David everything that happened. Ki harag Shaul et Kohanei Hashem. That Shaul killed the priests of Hashem. And you know what David says? You know what? Yadati bayomahu ki sham ha'edomi ki haged yagid l'Shaul. Anochi saboti b'chol nefesh beit avicha. Oy, you know, I knew that day that Doeg ha'edomi was there. And that he would tell Shaul that he saw me there. You know, I am the reason. I am to blame for all the deaths in your father's house. You know what? Shvayiti al tira. Ki asher yevakeshet nafshi yevakeshet nafshecha. Ki mishmeret ata imadi. Stay with me. Do not be afraid. Because whoever seeks your life will also seek my life. It will be my job to guard you. So what's the good and bad here? David is responsible partially because he saw that Doeg was there. But on the other hand, it's not his responsibility for what Shaul did, that he commanded the entire city to be destroyed. But David feels an achrayus. He feels a responsibility for the destruction of Nov. He knew that Doeg was there, and he still went ahead with his requests. So in some manner, he also bears the responsibility for the city's demise. David is lax with the welfare of the people around him. We saw his family might have been destroyed because of him. The city of Nov is being destroyed because of him. Those are not the signs of a great leader. His introduction story was how he was so protective of his sheep, symbolizing his protectiveness of his future constituents. What's happening to David? Also, where is he running to? He's running to Moab. He's running to Gat. We're worried about David. On the other hand, there's a little bit of a silver lining. David at least has self-knowledge and understands the consequences of his actions and takes responsibility. He will be a guardian of Eviatar, the sole survivor. This is reminiscent of the responsibility Yehuda takes for Binyamin. Yehuda was the reason Yosef was sold and all the consequences that ensued. However, once he realized this, Yehuda does take responsibility. And that is a sign of a great leader. You can make mistakes. All great leaders, all people make mistakes. But what differentiates between the cowards and the leaders? Between those who really don't make their mark and those who do? You acknowledge them. You realize your mistakes and you don't wallow in them. You don't blame others for them. You take responsibility and you try to right the wrong. And that is in stark contrast with Shaul. So let's recap. When David first comes back to Israel territory, he connects with his family. The family comes to him and they show solidarity. But David also attracts disaffected men, people in debt, a motley crew who live on the fringes of society. And this group numbers 400. Again, the reference to Esav. Once David gathers this group of family members and fringe warriors, he retreats to Moab with his family. And this is very disturbing because David's ancestress is Ruth. She rejected everything about Moab, and now David's going back to Moab as a place of refuge? And Rashi mentions that really, the king of Moab does not take care of David's family when he leaves to fight. He kills everyone in David's family except for one brother. The Perek further emphasizes this point of David's responsibility for people around him and maybe not caring about their welfare completely, is that Doeg, Shaul's advisor, overhears David and Ahimelech's conversation and the gifting of food and the sword, and tells Shaul all the details of this event in Nov. So Shaul calls Ahimelech for an investigation, and Shaul speaks very disrespectfully to the Kohen Gadol, son of Achitub. And Ahimelech admits, yes, I helped him. And it's not the first time that I helped him, but I didn't know all of this palace intrigue. It doesn't make a difference. Even though Ahimelech did this without any knowledge of the tension between Shaul and David, and he just gave him food, sword, and asked Hashem for him, he's not getting together with him to cause a rebellion, but that's how Shaul sees it. So he commands that everybody kill Novir HaKohanim. No one does it except Doeg, the servant who was the informer. He murders the entire city, men, women, and children, infants, oxen, asses, and sheep. And Shaul, who was afraid to destroy Amalek fully or kept the king alive and took the spoils, now is willing to kill the entire city of Kohanim? Al titzdak harbe va'al tirsha harbe. Don't be so seemingly extra righteous, because in the end, that will lead you to be extra wicked. If you have misplaced values and you think you know more than God, then you're in trouble. David also bears a little responsibility for this destruction of Nov, because he knew that Doeg was there, and he still went ahead with his requests. So David tells Eviatar, you know, I will always be responsible for you, and I will make sure that anyone who tries to hurt you, I will take care of them. He will be his guardian, just like Yehuda, who really is partially responsible for the selling of Yosef, but later on takes responsibility for Binyamin and the entire group of people. This is the sign of a great leader. You make mistakes, but you acknowledge them. You don't blame others. You take responsibility and you try to right the wrong. And that is in stark contrast with Shaul. So we have the question, will David be able to come out successfully from this downturn? Is this his last major challenge, or will he have others? Let's see what happens in chapter 23 in Perek Kaf Gimel. Let's see how David is going to react to more challenges. Is he going to lose his chance at kingship, or is he going to pull himself up? And that's a big question for us, and something that we look to our great leaders when there are a lot of pressures and when things are difficult and when we make mistakes. How are we going to react to them? Are we going to just repeat them or get depressed and feel, oh, I can't make a difference, I can't change? Or slowly but surely, is there a possibility to turn things around and really move ahead? Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.